You're listening to a message from Mercy Culture Church, home of Pastor Landon and Heather Schott in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information about Mercy Culture and ways that you can be a part of it, visit mercyculture.com.
We're going to be talking about relationships today, supernatural relationships. We're doing Q&A. Many of you submitted questions on social media, so we're going to be answering a lot of those. I do want to open up with just one quick warning before we begin, and that's this. We're going to be talking about what the Bible says. We're going to be giving best practices, advice, and if you're in this room and you have made mistakes in relationships, if you have sinned when it comes to sex and sexuality and other things like that, I want to let you know that you're in a safe place, that His mercy is new every morning, and the best thing about Christianity is that mercy endures forever, and as all you have to do is ask the Lord to forgive you. And so we're going to talk about some heavy topics as the service goes on, and I don't want anyone to feel shame or condemnation, but at the same time is I do want you to hear grace and truth, because that's where mercy is. And so go ahead and take a big breath, let it out, relax. I want everybody to feel life as you're in the presence of God today. So with that said, what's the first question?
What is something funny about each other?
You can't sing. No, for real. Like, you know, in American Idol, the first few episodes.
I feel like this is old news.
No, it's new every morning.
You know what?
And here's the problem, is our kids think Heather is a good singer. Voice. They're like, Mom, would you sing? I'm like, why?
It's all about anointing.
Why? They're like, and then they make fun of me singing.
Anybody else, you just feel anointed when you sing in the shower.
You're talking over me.
It doesn't matter.
Women be silent in church.
The angels are coming. And the Spirit of God, and you know,
you won't stop talking.
There.
No, but it is funny because, like, we've traveled for decades, and every time, like, we go places and they're like, does Heather want to sing? I'm like, do you want the Holy Spirit to leave?
More like, do you want the people to leave? Holy Spirit loves
All right,
my voice.
That's funny about you.
What's funny
about me?
Okay. You came in swinging, so I'm just going to come back swinging. So, everybody.
Few minutes.
Everybody knows Landon Schott loves order. I just wish that minimalist, orderly part of you, like, was in the house when it comes to cleaning up things. And so Landon is an extreme piler, okay? And I just felt like this would
I make piles to clean them.
This would be encouragement for other marriages in the room, or either, I don't know if this is actually encouragement or like, oh no. Oh no, we have no hope. But I will be like, hey, can you go clean up the kids' room or the living room? And I'll go out there, and then the living room will look amazing.
Amazing.
And then I'll go around the corner, and there's like three piles of random junk.
But the living room looks amazing.
There. And I'm like, you just moved a mess from one spot to the next spot. Do any wives, like, can they, like, hear me out? And I'm just like, that when Jesus talks about,
Time's
you know, forgiveness,
question.
7 times 77, thank you for helping me in that. And he also likes to buy me flowers 15 and a half years later that I'm still allergic to.
It's the thought that counts.
So I took a picture from afar in my office.
Yeah, it's beautiful. You're welcome.
This morning.
Just let that minister to
Thank
you.
Thank you.
All right, let's help people. We probably get asked this first question more than any other question. Every time we go on Daystar, they ask us this question. And I hate this question, but how did we meet?
Oh, how did, that is the first
yeah,
question.
How did we meet?
And I love this. I love this question.
I don't, because it seems carnal. We met in a gym is the true story. I guess that's better than meeting online, but it's still joking. I'm joking. I just offended every millennial in the church. No, so her mom is beautiful, and her mom was a friend of mine at this small little gym where I live. And one day her mom's like, hey, I have a daughter that I'd like to introduce you to. And I was like, I would love to meet your daughter. And she introduced me to Heather.
Because my mom is thinking, my daughter needs help. You're a youth pastor. She has been not a drug addict for 2 months, so she needs help.
That's
so
not a joke.
That's the true story. So literally 3 months after I overdosed, the Lord literally brings me back to life. 3 months later, my mom introduces us. Yes, and we're going to be giving advice later to not do what we did.
Yeah, we'll help you.
But it was the Lord in our scenario. So, yes, we met in the gym, and I believe you pretended that you were done working out when you just arrived.
It was
but
a quick
I was
workout.
Coming in.
Cam and I do it all the time. It was a quick workout.
No, I don't think you entered the building.
I don't
you
think
just
I
did a
either.
U-turn yeah. and you came back and asked me for my number, which you don't usually do.
I was a little bold. The righteous are bold as a lion. So we went on one date, and it was a special date because it was the only date ever that Heather let me drink her water.
I think I took it back
because
from you.
Because 15 years, sure. if I ever dared reach over the table and try to take a drink of her water, I would not get my hand back. But that was the one date she let me. And she told me everything, her life yeah. story, everything. She didn't hold anything back. And we're in my car. It's about 2.5 hours I'm hearing her story. And the Holy Spirit said, she's your wife. Disciple her for 2 years. And we don't recommend this part, but she was falling in love with Jesus and me at the same time.
Yeah, and that's the next question that we get a lot, which is, what did it look like to disciple Heather? I hope somebody asked, what was it like to disciple Landon?
No one asked.
Because I took over after those next
it's
couple
true.
Of years.
I discipled her for the first 2 years, and she's been discipling me ever since. And so really what it was is like you would disciple anyone. So the Lord said, she's your wife. So I'm like, I'm going to prepare her and not to be a wife, but to be a spiritual leader. And so on our third date, she got baptized in the Holy Ghost. We were speaking in tongues.
When most spiritual people are making out in the back seat, speaking in tongues in the front seat.
No, but I was very strategic about even not letting there be any physical things because of your past. So she got baptized in the Holy Ghost on our third date. I baptized her in our first summer dating in the lake and the town that you used to party in. And I bought her first Bible. I gave her a reading plan, like literally like walking her through, finding out this is who Jesus is. And then a lot of conversations about doctrine, about theology, about Christianity, about a life that pursues God, and then letting her watch my life that pursued God. And so just like you would any believer or anyone, but just being very, very strategic that she had her own personal relationship with the Lord. And so that was the strategy.
We also pursued the Lord together. We prayed together. There were the same books that we would read together. And so I even encourage, you know, in dating for the leadership spiritually to start there. And a lot of times people don't pray together. They don't enter into the presence together. And it's this separate thing, and it happens all the time in marriages where they come and they love the Lord, they've been saved for a long time, and we say, are you praying together? Well, no, we don't really pray together. We don't really, welcome the Lord into our house together. It's kind of this separate, and it's really a powerful thing in dating, engagement, and in marriage, yes, to have your separate time, but it's so powerful as a couple to come together as one and to pray and to worship, to pray over your children together.
So let's put that poll question back up, and the answer to this is, no matter what, you do not date non-Christians. You do not date. So as your pastor, pastoral advice, and I would say under any circumstances, even in our story, Heather knew the Lord, already gave her life to the Lord, and she was young in her faith. And that's why we needed a 2-year season for her to be strong. And I do recommend, this is not for everybody, but you do want multiple seasons of watching how somebody responds to hardship, responds to tragedy, when there's challenges in their faith, how are they going to respond? Because sometimes when you start dating someone, you get their representative, and it's not really who they are. And so I would warn you, and it's crazy how many times I get this on Tuesday Q&A. What is our adult? 1%, if I feel peace about it, that is not right. 2%, if they have good taste in memes, equally yoked. That's awesome. Okay, so if you ask God first and he says it's okay, 30% people need pastoring right now. Because what I would recommend that you do is you take this to pastors, you take this to leaders. So if a spiritual daughter came to me and said, hey, I prayed about this and I really feel like I'm supposed to date this guy, I would tell the spiritual daughter no. It would be my job to look after you. And in especially for women, and this is not a degrading comment whatsoever, but how are you going to submit to a man who's not submitted to God? I would take this even further for Christian dating people, is how do you submit to a man who's not submitted himself? And so you want to make sure that you're looking for godly character no matter who it is. But here's what the scripture says, 2 Corinthians 6:14, it says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. So scripture is absolutely clear. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness, or what fellowship does light have with darkness? So when it's talking about a yoke, it was a tool that they put on oxen. And they would put it on the same size oxen, and so it could plow a field properly. And if you did not have oxen that were the same size, the yoke would not fit. And so one would pull the other would slow down the other. And so it goes even further, that even beyond being saved, is there's a lot of troubles that people have in relationship because one of them is spirit-filled and the other one isn't. And so when I'm mentoring people, I don't ask if they're saved. That's a given. I'm gonna say this again for everybody that's new to the faith. That is a given. Please hear your pastor. Do not date non-believers. It's actually the opposite of wise. It's foolish. But even more than that is you want to look at, are we equally yoked? Or even, so are we spiritually matching up? Do we have this similar passion for the Lord? Do we have a similar desire for spiritual things? Are our paths on the same path? So when Heather and I were dating, I told her, and I think I was on our second date, hey, I'm in ministry. I'm going to give my life to the Lord. This is what I'm called to do. Is this something that you're okay with? And she's like, yeah, absolutely. I'll love you and support you. And she's like, let's do it. And then as we continued to date, I began to see, well, the call of God's not on my life. The call of God is on our lives together. And the same way that I have to steward my walk, we have to steward hers together. And so it was obvious why God brought us together. And everybody sees, you know, our relationship now, and Heather's a powerhouse communicator, prophetic, just an amazing woman of God, done multiple extended fasts with me together. Truly is. She doesn't just preach good for a woman. She preaches good flat out for anybody. I mean, she's an amazing minister, and has, you know, we're joking about her discipling me, but it's not a joke. If I didn't marry Heather, I wouldn't be in ministry today. I probably wouldn't be sane today, because the spiritual attacks that came against me, a Jezebel spirit that came against me, just the weight of life in ministry came against me. And one of the things that I had to really learn in our early days of marriage was how to listen to her and how to listen to the Holy Spirit in her. Because she grew up a teenage drug addict alcoholic. I discipled her. And so when we got into marriage, I'm like, no, just, you know, listen to me. Follow me. Do what I said. You know, I have all this together. And then we're quickly finding out, like, I don't know what I'm doing. And I'm messing all of this up. And God was speaking through her constantly. And I was ignoring her and ignoring God at the same time. Because I was like, follow me. And it probably took, in all honesty, 5 years for me to stop being dumb and to begin to hear God. And now, if I'm honest with you today, now when she talks and I hear God in her, I will literally feel the Holy Spirit hit me in the chest when she's talking. And it's challenging because you talk all the time together. And so you got to discern what is your husband or wife's opinions and what is God speaking through each other. But I mean, I could tell you probably a dozen times in the last 2 years that I could tell you where I am, where she says something and I feel it hit me. And then when I feel it hit me, I'm aware I need to start listening, because God is speaking through her. And so it is so important. Now we're running together, you know, 15 years in a marriage, 17 years in a relationship and pastoring this church together, been all around the world together. This is so important. We are equally yoked. It might just not have looked like it back then. Anything you want to say that?
No, so good. Let's go to the next question. What boundaries should we have in our dating stages?
Let me jump to the big one. Don't have sex. If, just so everybody's aware, because a lot of people are new to the faith and they don't understand the teaching of the Bible. Anytime you see the word fornication in scripture, it's talking about sex outside marriage. And I want to kind of teach for a second so that there's an awareness of what this is. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 6:12. If you have your Bibles or if you texted notes, it will be there. I'm going to read about six scriptures. Heather, why don't you read it?
Verse 12, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. Food is meant for the stomach and the stomach for food, and God will destroy both one and the other. The body is not meant for sexual immorality.
Read that again.
The body is not meant for sexual immorality.
For the people in the back.
The body is not meant for the people online. There's nobody in the back. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For as it is written, the two will become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Verse 18, flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexual immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God with your body.
So much in this one scripture. I encourage you to go read this again on your own. The fastest way to ruin a relationship is to defile it with immorality before you get married. And this is so important. And I want you to hear this in a conversation and not just in a service so that you can hear a father's heart behind it. And when you are dating and in your single years, you need to understand that if you do not deal with immorality at any stage, it cannot be quenched and it does not go away. So whatever you're dealing with as a single person, you will deal with as a married person. And whenever you get married, it does not, what it does is it magnifies who you are. And so whatever you're dealing with right now, this is something that you're going to have to win and get the victory over and learn how to spiritually navigate and overcome through the power of the Holy Spirit, because it doesn't go away when sex with your husband or your wife is permitted. There's so much to this, but here's what I want you to be aware of, is that you are cheating on God when you have sex with someone that's not your spouse, because your covenant is with him. It's the fastest way to ruin a relationship. And so, to be clear, don't have sex, don't live together, and don't push the limits. So you want to be careful, because it's like a train that can't slow down fast. Whatever you begin to engage with physically in the dating years, things just continue to speed up. So I intentionally did not kiss Heather. I was planning for the first 6 months, but she snuck a kiss on me in the first three.
What?
It's a true story. Tell the truth. Shame the devil. She kissed me first.
The truth.
But here's the thing.
I will not even roll out that story.
Marriage.
I'm going to cover you right now.
Marriage was God's idea. Okay, covenant is God's idea. So marriage reflects God's covenant with his bride. Marriage reflects the Trinity. Marriage reflects God's relationship with his church. And so you need to understand when 1 Corinthians 6 is saying the two will become one flesh, that's pointing to Genesis 2:24. Now, when we're talking about marriage, I would say it's a given, but in today's society, it's not. The only relationship, the only marriage, and the only sexual relationship that God blesses or acknowledges in his scripture is with a man and a woman. And so in America, it's legal for there to be gay marriage, but in the kingdom of God, it's not lawful. So there's a lot of things in America that are legal, but they're not lawful in the kingdom of God. So when God is talking about the two married will become one flesh, he's pointing again to Genesis 2:24. This is where God says that a man will leave his wife, leave his family, cling to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. It's talking about this spiritual covering. So the reason why it reflects the Trinity is because it's three in one, or the same way with a marriage, it's two individuals, a husband and a wife, and God in the relationship. And the Bible says that God blesses, he ordains, he puts his favor on that relationship. So when you are getting married, what you're doing is it's two people welcoming the Lord into a holy union. So when we say covenant, it means this, it's a holy promise. So you are welcoming the Holy Spirit into a relationship with the two of you. So when you are having sex outside of that covenant or outside of that holiness, you are welcoming spirits that are not the Holy Spirit into a union that is not sanctioned by God. Tell this quick story. There's this, I was ministering one years and years ago. This girl came up to me and she said, "Pastor, I need you to pray for me. I'm being demonically attacked in dreams." Instantly, the Holy Spirit said, "She's sleeping with someone." And I said, as softly as I could, I said, are you living in sexual sin?" She starts crying. And she goes, "I knew it." As soon as she began to engage, look at this, in one flesh, joining spiritually, not just physically, but joining spiritually with someone else who's not submitted to God, who's entertaining demonic entities. When she came into unity with that, the demonic force in that other person starts harassing her. Instantly, when I said that to her, she began to cry. We began to pray. We began to repent. We began to deal with that situation, and she was delivered from it. But it's so important because so many individuals don't realize that what you're doing. This is not just having fun. This isn't, I had someone asked me on Tuesday Q&A, they said, "How do I promote holiness to my children, but also teach them about safe sex?" And I responded to them, "I thought you were teaching holiness to your children." There's only one way to do this. And that's all in following God with all of your heart. What do you want to say about this?
So a lot of people will ask, when do I know that I'm ready to start dating? And along with what he is saying, is that gauge on whether or not you are ready to enter into a Christ-centered relationship is your fear and honor of the Lord. And if your fear and honor of the Lord is legitimate in your life, then that is what will be your lead and your guide and not the temptation. And so a lot of people will love the Lord, but don't necessarily fear and honor him. So then it's oops moments. Well, I didn't want to do that, but then all of a sudden this just happened. But I can tell you this, when there is an intimacy with the Lord first, you will actually set boundaries that are fully communicated with that individual in where you stand, because your honor and fear of the Lord is what is leading and guiding you and will lead and guide that relationship. And so I believe the original question was what are the boundaries? So if the goal is not to have sex, then that means you have to know what your weaknesses are better than the devil knowing what your weaknesses are. And so many times we lose in warfare or in scenarios like this relationally because the enemy is more aware of our weaknesses than our own. Or we don't want to acknowledge, we don't want to communicate, oh, this is awkward, so we shove it away, and then we fall into these sinful moments because they aren't fully communicated. So I'll tell you this, that first date that we are on that I told Landon everything and thought, okay, he's going to get up from this table and he's going to be like, "This date is over, you are crazy." He began to minister to me and tell me how a man should treat a woman and respect their body, that he was a virgin, that he was going to be a virgin until the day that he was married. And he laid out what a holy relationship looked like and set boundaries from day one before we were ever dating. And that becomes, that communication becomes that accountability so that it, you know, I don't know about this scenario. I don't know about being in a house in the evening by ourselves, watching a movie, cuddling under a blanket with no accountability. That seems like a setup for a weakness. And so you set those boundaries ahead of time so that it, there's not those oops moments where now this relationship that we wanted Jesus the center of is now a different scenario.
So let me give this example. The Bible says to live a life above reproach. Yeah. So hold your microphone in my face.
I need my hands. So here's what we want to do as Christians is, what line can I live at and be okay? So to live above reproach means this, is that you live up here so that if you ever make mistakes or have lapses of judgment, you end up at the line that you're okay versus you live here and then when you make these decisions, it's uh-oh.
So you want to make wise choices. So let me give you some practical advice. If you have been in sexual sin or if your relationship has been sinful, number one, repent to God. And even if it's been a lot of repenting, keep repenting. Second thing is repent to each other. It's so important that you acknowledge to each other where you've sinned and where you've fallen short. The third one, this is the tough one, and this is where we say, do you want to grow fast or slow? This is, do you want supernatural growth? And this is the hard one. But take a season to let that relationship die so that God could resurrect it and it can be pure. And so as your pastor, I would recommend that you let the relationship die, that you take a season where you break so you can go and re-engage and do it right and do it pure. And then you could start over being healthy, being spiritually healthy, and then let your relationship have a relationship that is going to be strong all the way to marriage and into the future because you did it right. So even if you've done it wrong, you can still repent and still do it right.
Okay, do you believe that there is the one? How do you know if you have found the one?
It's amazing how many different opinions that I've heard about this from spiritual leaders. And so I'm just going to give you scripture, Genesis 24, 14. Let the young woman to whom I shall say, please let down your jar and I may drink. And whom shall I say, drink and I will water your camels. Let her be the one whom you have appointed for your servant Isaac. So this is the story of the wife of Isaac being found. And God specifically designed there to be a one for his servant Isaac. It's interesting that the same angel went to Mary and Joseph and talked to them about their relationship. Didn't go to Mary and then say, hey, whatever guy that you end up with, make sure he knows, this is pretty important. And so if God has that much intentionality, if he knows the numbers of hair on your head, if he has a plan and purpose for you,
that's
before
right,
your
Jeremiah
womb,
29:11.
Then in my opinion, according to scripture, surely he's assigned the one for you. He has everything in his plan for you. And it's our job to align our lives with his perfect will.
Now, I think that this is where people get, they think, well, God must not have the one for me, because then what happens with divorce and then, you know, another spouse coming along, or and they have all of these questions around it. And here's the thing, God is outside of our thought process, our minds, our timelines, all of it. He is the God of the beginning and the end, all at the same time, omnipresent. And he heals and restores. And so because he's a merciful God, he can heal us of previous scenarios and still bring the one later in our life. And my parents are a phenomenal example of that scenario. My stepdad coming as a hero into our life that loves the Lord and came and comes into a family with kids from another scenario, loves us as his own, puts us through college, supports. I mean, he is also my father and my dad. And so I feel like people get caught up on this, the one. Well, God can't have the one because of all of these other scenarios, but God is a miraculous God. And so when we stop questioning God and how he does things in multiple scenarios to then limit that he could actually have the one that I 100% believe in, because there's no way that God has this full plan and purpose for our life. And if we are young, submit our lives to him fully, that he just, you know what, I'm going to plan their whole entire life, but I'm going to leave their spouse, who I say they're going to be one with, I'm going to leave it out of their picture for just random choice. So when you become one, can you imagine if Landon just said, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, and in the moment it did not look like, but he heard, I was the one, and everything now that we're doing together, birthing together, that God knew we would at one time birth together. And so I just, for those that are believing for the one, we want to encourage you not to listen to other doctrines or things like that, that there isn't the one for you. And then if you are married now or about to be remarried again, not to ever allow shame to come and rest on you or your home, because maybe you made mistakes previously, that God doesn't have the one coming for you now.
So we're actually, I thought this would happen, but we're getting short on time. So let's get into probably three more questions. What were the biggest challenges, or what were some of the biggest challenges in your marriage? I mentioned earlier communication of me not listening to Heather, or really what it was just my pride. And so me dealing with my pride, I'm pretty sure all of our problems in marriages have been my fault. But learning how to hear from her, learning how to communicate feelings. One of the biggest challenges of, or breakthroughs that we've had in our marriage, it probably took probably me 10 years to figure out, is to tell Heather when she hurt my feelings, because I just wanted to be mad. And if I told her that she hurt my feelings, I would feel like a wimp, like me no hurt. You know what I mean? Like, and so going to her and not being mad at her, not trying to make her know that she hurt my, like, but just being honest, hey, you hurt me, has been a major breakthrough area in our life. And you're gonna fight in marriage. You're gonna fight in relationship. And warning, if you're dating and you're getting in tons of fights, that is not good. And you should be paying attention to that, okay? I remember Heather and I were dating for about almost a year, and she's like, I can't ever imagine us getting into a fight.
And you laughed at me.
I did. They're coming. They're coming.
Yeah, right. But
when you're in a fight, the strategy is to not hurt each other. So don't say hurtful things. Don't say dumb things. Don't cut too deep. Don't do... Because a lot of people will start out fighting about something and they'll actually damage each other more and get to a worse place, and you start out fighting over laundry or something silly or stupid. But because there's a lack of self-control, you end up really damaging your marriage. So some practical advice: let your spouse know when they hurt your feelings. Don't compare your spouse to anyone. They are their own unique person. So if you start your mother and your father and your uncle or that guy on the street, you walk the same way as that guy. Like, you just stupid stuff like that. Don't do that. Don't compare in a negative way. And then don't call names. I know these are given, but you get in a fight, and some people just fight differently. Don't do damage to your relationship that's unnecessary.
And I think the biggest thing of what to do is to walk in humility. And a lot of times in an argument, hopefully, I mean, you want to grow in marriage, and I would say this is an area we've definitely grown in our marriage. We were both just hot-headed, young and dumb when we first got married, but usually there's the one that is more calm, and it is the job of the other person to humble themselves and see, okay, they are trying to make peace in this scenario. They are trying to communicate, and I need to come down from this anger place that I'm in, and I need to humble myself to hear what they're saying. And so if I'm fired up and he says to me, you're hurting my feelings right now, the first reaction is, I don't really care right now. I want to prove my point. I want to be right about this scenario. I need to win in this moment. And that is where the pride begins to tear unity down in our homes. because the winning of an argument or being right is being put prior to protecting and guarding the unity of our marriage and our home. And so humility has to be the guide in communication, in disagreements in your house, and that our spirit men and women are leading more than our flesh is leading in our homes. And believe you me, our children are watching, and people also ask this, do you argue in front of your kids? We'll have mild disagreements talking through in front of our kids, but if it's something heated, we are not going to do that in front of our children. But we also, even when we are going to close a door, that used to mean like, okay, all hands on deck, let's go now. And that is not the case anymore, again, because the number one thing in pulling away is to what? Guard and protect unity. The Bible says that God answers the prayers of the righteous. Is it more important for you to win an argument or for God to answer the cries and prayers of your house?
So a funny story, when we were first dating, she locked me out of the room. No, married. We were first married. She locked me out of the room.
Oh, can I tell this story?
Sure.
Okay. Okay, yes, he's keeping me on time, order. So we get in this, you know, we've been married for like a year.
If you were preaching, we would never get done.
Our fire came out in different ways early on in marriage. And so I'd had enough of him. Who knows what we were yelling or arguing about. And so I'm like, okay, so I'm making my popcorn. Just been staying in the kitchen. And we're fighting. He doesn't know what I'm doing, but I march up to our room. I go into our room, lock that door, turn on a movie, have popcorn. And I'm sitting there and he's like knocking on that door like, open up, we're gonna make peace. And I'm like, I have popcorn and a movie on, I'm in peace.
Quit clapping, Jasmine.
I will talk to you later. And he's like, you better open this door right now. And I'm like, I told you, I'm watching a movie.
It went from a knock to a bang.
Yeah, and he said, you better open this door right now, I'm gonna kick down that door. And I said, you better think about it before you kick down that door, because you don't know how to fix it or put it back on if you kick it down.
So the knock went to a flat hand, and then to my surprise, I hit it and the door just bursted open.
And we both just look at each other like,
did I do that? And I was like, rah!
And then I'm like, that door is never gonna be fixed. How many know a preacher has certain gifts, but using tools is not one of them?
I did not have that. It's not an anointing on my life.
To the day that we sold that house, I mean, we had my parents that
I
came
can
over
exegete
six
text
months
pretty good,
later,
but fix a
like,
door
well,
is not.
We
my
know what
strong,
happened here.
It's funny.
My parents, they just stood at the door and they said, "We know what happened right
so
here."
So we're being funny, but before we run out of time, worship team, I'll invite you to join us. One of the greatest struggles in our marriage was me giving in to pornography. And in our earlier days of marriage, letting temptation, even before temptation, or before marriage that I didn't deal with, letting temptation that I thought would go away when we got married resurface. And then hiding things and lying to Heather and letting it be this thing where every so months it would come back and I'd defeat it for a while. And then it came in, I gave into it. And letting it just eat the fabric of our marriage away. And I would notice that when I would give in to temptation, that we would be in a really big fight within 24 hours. I would open the door to demonic activity and let it in our home. And one day I was having this conversation with the Lord and I was like, I have to get free. Like, I can't do this. I have to be free. And I heard the Lord say, go tell her. I'm like, I can't do that. Like, no, like I've been hiding and lying. I can't tell her. And the Holy Spirit said, I thought you wanted to be free. And it was one of the hardest but best conversations I've ever had. And gentlemen, when you realize how bad you've hurt your wife, you'll never want to do that again. And I told her everything. And I wasn't caught, but I wanted to be free. I wasn't caught by her, but I was caught by the Lord. And it destroyed trust in a matter of moments, which took years to build. And it was a season where I had to earn back trust. And it was a long time. I mean, it was years of earning back trust. I love watching football. I'm a Seahawks fan. But then in between, after plays, the cameramen zoom in on cheerleaders. And every time there'd be a moment where if I didn't look away fast enough, I didn't turn away, she's wondering, what's he looking at? What's he doing? And he's lied to me before and all these different things. And it took years and years of intentionally developing trust. And I mean, I had to be vulnerable. Here's my phone. Here's everything. Here's every password. Ask me any question, anytime. I remember one time, it was pretty funny. We just had a baby and we would go to the park all the time. And this lady had a jogging stroller. And she started folding up the jogging stroller. And I was like, wow, that looked easy. And then she was putting her jogging stroller in her car. And I'm like, it fits in her car. And I'm looking at this jogging stroller. And I didn't realize that she was this lady wearing
spandex.
And I'm
spandex. Like, he's dead.
Bending over, putting her stroller in her car. And we're leaving the park, and she's just madder than a fire ant. And I'm like, what? And she won't talk. I'm like, what? Like, oh, crap. What? And she's like, oh, you know. I have no idea what you're talking about. I don't know. I don't know.
So I bring up the girl, like, you know, from point A to point B to point C to point D. And he's like, she had a really cool stroller. And I was like, what? What? You can't think I'm going to fall for this. And he's like, no, this stroller did this and it folded up and it fit here and it was one click and this. And, like, I think there was a moment that we just started cracking up laughing, like, how ridiculous, but how beautiful and how far that we had come.
It was being in the presence of God.
Yeah.
And us together repenting and forgiving and being in the presence of God together. The last question that we're asked is, how do you grow a stronger relationship? I do want to say this. Hear me, gentlemen. We hear this all the time, and there's tons of jokes that if you're a guy, you're gonna deal with things. And there could be truth that everybody's tempted with something, but you do not have to be your temptation. And one of the greatest lies to the body of Christ is that you can't be free.
Come on.
It's amazing when you're in the presence of God, your temptation leaves. Your same-sex attraction leaves. Those burdens leave when you're in the presence. And I want to let you know, men, you could be free.
Yes.
Women, you could be free.
Yes.
And where everybody gets caught up is on this, is how am I going to make it the rest of my life? That's not scriptural. Scripture says, don't worry about tomorrow. Worry about today. Listen, a life of holiness is lived one day at a time. And every day in the presence of God, you will live a victorious life.
The presence of God, Jesus, He is truth. So that means daily living in truth, which the Bible says sets you free. That's why there's so much resistance on you sharing truth, because freedom is on the other side. And I can't tell you, in those moments when he came to me and shared with me, I almost couldn't even see the beauty that was on the other side, but the unity, the healing, the restoration, the joy that's been in our home for over a decade. Can I tell you, if you are watching online, wherever you are, if you are on your seat, nervous, sweating bullets, how do I share the truth? Can we just be a picture today of what freedom and unity and joy and healing and restoration and authority over darkness and addiction looks like? It wasn't always this way. But leaning into the truth and leaning into living a life of truth brings freedom. We want you, men and women in this room watching online, members of this house to live in freedom. Come on, we receive him and his salvation to one day enter eternity, but he wants you to live in freedom today. That invitation is there for you today. And so we want to pray for every single person that in any way is dealing with any sort of sexual immorality, addiction, pornography, whatever it is. There is freedom. There's a spirit of freedom in this house today. And can I tell you this? Temptation will come tomorrow, but temptation is not your reality. That is the enemy knocking on your door, trying to pull you into your past. And you can say no thank you like to a piece of gum. No thank you Tuesday, no thank you Wednesday, no thank you Thursday, until a month has gone by and you're saying, where is my temptation? A year has gone by and you are breaking generational curses for your children and for the next generation. So Lord, we just raise them to their feet. I just feel like
here's
faith.
Just stand all over this place.
Yeah.
I want to challenge you as your pastor. If you're struggling and you're married and you want freedom, tell your spouse.
Yeah. Yes.
Be honest with your spouse. And our pastoral care team is here to serve you.
We will help through this process.
If you are a single person and you are struggling, repent and live right.
Yes.
If you want a godly relationship, if you want a partner in crime, if you want a life partner, a ministry partner, that you two together will fulfill the call of God on your life, that the two will become one flesh, one will put 1,000 a flight, two will put 10,000 a flight, then you have to do it right. You have to do it God's way. If you're with your husband or wife, would you just grab their hand? And everyone else, if you're not here with your spouse, would you just lay your hands on your heart? If you're watching or listening online or you end up listening to this podcast, do the same thing right now. If you are married right now, both of you together, just start inviting the Holy Spirit into your marriage. Do it out loud so you can hear yourself pray. If you're a single person, lay hands on your chest and just invite the Holy Spirit to dwell within you right now.
And to your spouse, wherever they're at right now. Invite the Holy Spirit to come.
If you're dating and you're in the room, start declaring purity right now over your lives. Start declaring purity and righteousness right now if you're dating. Let that be what your heart's cry. If you're married right now, just welcome the Holy Spirit. Father, I declare right now, Holy Spirit, you are welcome into our lives. You are welcome into our marriages. You are welcome. We declare we don't make room for you in our lives. We give you every part. There's nowhere that you're not allowed to come in. And we declare right now, Father, I pray right now, we make war, spiritual war against the attack of the enemy, and we expose you. We pray for the truth of God to rule and reign. We declare that we will be people of pure hands and a pure heart. We have pure lives that please you. Lord, I pray right now that you would inhabit our praises. Father, we declare that you are welcome in our lives. You are welcome in our marriages. And I thank you right now. Enemy, you do not have authority over our lives. You have to go. I pray right now over every person that is struggling and being tempted with same-sex attractions. I declare the grace of God, the mercy of God to rest on you. I declare life and life more abundantly. I pray for every man and woman that are being attacked with perversion and pornography. I declare right now that fear, that spirit, you have to go. Holy Spirit, come and rule and reign. I declare every person that has been giving in, I declare the power, the grace of the Holy Spirit to come upon you to resist the enemy, and he will flee from you. I declare, let a spirit of righteousness and purity rest upon you. I declare the grace of God to fall on you, and I pray right now, healing in marriages.
Lord, I thank you for the marriages that came into Mercy Culture and they said, we don't know how we're going to make it, but you came in. You came and you dwelt in their homes. And I declare right now, even every marriage on the live stream right now, do this out loud, family. Welcome them into your home. Yes. Welcome them into your marriage. I declare, Holy Spirit, you are welcome in the marriages right now. Now go ahead and squeeze each other's hand if you're married. I pray right now, healing power to come. Lord, I pray what you did in Heather and I's life in our marriage, you do in this church. Heather, I feel like you're supposed to pray right now for unity to come into our congregation.
Forgiveness is so powerful. The healing and unity couldn't come into our home without forgiveness. True forgiveness for me to operate in. The Bible says forgiveness is actually throwing into the sea of forgetfulness and not hanging it over somebody's head later. So Lord, I just declare that we would be a people that would operate in forgiveness like what you died for on the cross. That you were forgiving as you were being slayed. You were being forgiven as you were being stabbed. You were forgiving as you were being stoned. You were forgiving as you were being cursed. Lord, that we would be a people that would walk in forgiveness no matter what. And Father, today as we align ourselves with your truth and your ways, oh God, we ask for unity to be restored to our marriages. Unity to be restored in our houses. Unity to be restored between relationships and families. Unity to be restored from prodigal sons and daughters to parents. Unity to be restored between different races and different churches, oh God. We cry out for unity, and oh God, as unity comes and that oil begins to flow over your sons and daughters, would you release new supernatural authority and freedom in Jesus' mighty name? I declare over you, Mercy Culture, where the spirit of freedom is, you are free. So, Father, would you minister to your sons and daughters freedom?
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Mercy Culture Church. If this podcast has blessed you, we'd like to encourage you to share it with a friend. To learn more about us, find us on social media and online at mercyculture.com.